Shalom Aleichem and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soulmate and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and Shalom Aleichem, which besides meaning peace to all, it is a greeting which simply says hello to all.
Yeah, you can also say Shalom when leaving someone.
Very true. So I guess if you're one of those people not knowing if you're coming or going, Shalom works very well. Let us pray.
Almighty God, give us strength. Help our resolution to stand up against our enemies, for we acknowledge that we are nothing without you. For only you are our supreme being. Therefore, we will not fear, we will not despair, or become depressed, for thou art with us, holding your righteous ones in the palm of your hand, where no man can remove us. We offer up to you these recent prayer requests, the hostages and those saints affected by those many tornadoes. We pray for the listeners tonight and for the salvation of all our loved ones. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
Israel just celebrated its Memorial Day of 76 years of statehood.
Amazing, since they've had many difficulties these 76 years.
And yet again.
Yep, and alone again, I might add. So, as now, Biden, he won't even share intelligence, crucial intelligence, about Hamas, which is another step, another slap in the face, because we should have already done that. It's obvious Biden wants Hamas to come out ahead of all this. Why else would he stop the delivery of precision missiles and ammunition?
Yeah, and much of it Israel's already paid for.
But we know Israel is never alone, which is just how God prefers it. This is just a preamble of the big war of Gog and Magog during the tribulation when Israel as a whole will recognize their Savior.
Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
Just look back in recent history in our generation, 1948, 67, and 73. Those were just the bigger wars with continuous small wars and skirmishes that never seem to end.
And look at the many battles in the Old Testament.
God has always been there, as evidenced as far back as the Red Sea. But as Jeremiah 30 verse 11 says, he does correct them a bit from time to time for their transgressions.
Remember the golden calf.
But back to today, there is much unrighteousness and immorality of the secular Jews, as in homosexuality, parading their sin on a float for all to see. Isaiah 5:20.
And we're no better.
Well, yeah, I think worse, which is why judgment must come. And now even more so, because Biden and his ilk are cursing Israel with annihilation by helping Hamas.
And to God, that's crossing the line.
Let's read that in Genesis 12:3.
I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
The United States has been blessed because, till now, with some exceptions, thank God, we have always stood by Israel. But now Biden and Secretary Blinken have been applying significant pressure on Israel, especially since April, by calling for an Israeli extended ceasefire.
Which really means to surrender.
And for what? A very low Israeli hostage release for freeing hundreds of Palestinian prisoners? At the same time, Biden has been speaking with Saudi Arabia not to make nice with Israel unless they agree to a two-state solution, meaning the Palestinians acquiring even more land.
As in East Jerusalem.
Absolutely. Trump never had to do that. The Abraham Accords went right over the Palestinians' demands.
Including East Jerusalem.
Yes, for their capital.
Joe Biden is, you know, he's worse than Jimmy Carter.
However, there is some good news. The IDF is having positive results.
Yeah, here it's dismantled 18 battalions.
And even though totally not full scale yet in Rafah, they are firing some pinpointed rockets with Israeli troops along Egypt's eastern border, bombing tunnels that were being used to smuggle in weapons. Thousands of Palestinians are moving out of Rafah, and I would imagine Hamas is too. But Israel really wants to damage their infrastructure and the tunnels first in order to significantly degrade its capabilities.
And they will.
Meanwhile, up in the north, they have disrupted many of Hezbollah command structures.
And taken out about 300 of their leaders.
And just last night destroyed an Iranian proxy base in Lebanon. Anyhow, back to Biden. He is very familiar with how to pay to play.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I recently heard that back in 1982, when Biden was a senator from Delaware, that when the Prime Minister Menachem Begin of Israel went to Washington, Biden was on the Foreign Relations Committee, who told him to stop the offensive campaign in Lebanon or they would withhold aid. We have a part of Begin's reply right here.
He answered, "Don't threaten us cutting off our aid to give up our principles. I'm not a Jew with trembling knees."
Unfortunately, Biden did, and it was under President Reagan, and then again later under President Bush Sr., but never since.
Yeah, till now.
It's Biden again, who is a lying fraudster.
And worse than Jimmy Carter, who always sided against Israel.
And again, this stupid move will open the door even more to God's judgment on America. Just think about the recent increase in tornadoes for this time of the year.
Most active in history.
They say Tornado Alley is winding to a street.
You mean a highway.
Yeah. Well, here's some stats. The United States experienced the second largest April tornado outbreak in history, with 300 tornadoes and some EF3s. Utah, the Mormon state, had a tornado every day for 2 weeks. And there has been almost 1,000 severe weather events from April 2nd.
So, is God causing the increase?
Well, let's just say he didn't stop them.
And he definitely could.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that they did start popping up when Biden cursed Israel by favoring Hamas, who, as if you know, butchered hundreds of Jews, including children. Meanwhile, the world is getting closer to an all-digital money system, and a global religion is heavily talked about at the World Council of Churches. No, my friend, the world is not falling apart. It's all coming together.
Okay, we welcome your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. You can also sign up for our newsletters and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right. As most of you know, I have been reading a lot from the Dead Sea Scrolls found in the caves at Qumran. And that finding was no accident, I'm sure, but rather God ordained, who kept them hidden for almost 2,000 years for our generation when knowledge would increase. I especially enjoy Enoch's writings, which has connected many dots concerning end-time prophecy, which, of course, I love to study.
Yeah, well, you know, we were there. You have been gifted in your calling.
Well, it's enhanced by our Jewish roots.
Yes. And I love that you are a persistent dot connector.
Uh-huh. And then I'd like to share these gold nuggets with everyone. And God hides them so we can find them. And I can share with you all.
Proverbs 25:2.
Anyhow, they discovered writing. Some were fragmented, but able to figure out. Some too small to figure out, so just set aside. But in Qumran Cave number 1, they found many scrolls with a few from Lamech.
Who was Noah's father.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there's just not enough room in our Bibles to include the many writings found of many patriarchs included in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But, praise the Lord, we have some of them. And I really do believe in my heart that God preserved them for the last generation to bless us in the end of days when knowledge would increase exponentially. And we are grateful to scholar Ken Johnson, who has taught me a lot from his many books about the Dead Sea Scrolls. So anyhow, we simply must share what we found out from Lamech's writings.
He was the son of Methuselah and the grandson of Enoch.
That's right. And Lamech writes about the fall of the angels, the watchers, who were to teach men to be godly, but instead many, not all, corrupted mankind. Lamech writes how these angels changed into man form and committed sin with the women.
Which produced the Nephilim.
Yep, the giants. Anyhow, Lamech was married to his sister Betnosh. Now remember, God allowed that back then. And besides, with so much of the wicked seed in people, they did intermarry.
But anyhow, she was soon to have a baby, whose name would be Noah.
That's right. But Lamech had a terrifying visionary dream concerning her pregnancy that startled him, and his mind wavered about the baby possibly not being his, even perhaps from a watcher. So, very sternly, but without giving any details of his dream, he demanded that she tell him the truth, whether he was the father of what he believed would be a quite unique son.
She began to cry and insisted the baby was his.
She reminded Lamech about the time of their love and in the heat of the moment with her panting breath.
So he believed her.
He did, but still concerned about the details, and decides to tell his father, Methuselah, and then asks Methuselah to tell his father, Enoch, because Enoch knows the watchers well. And we know that God makes everything known to Enoch.
Wow, what a world back then, huh?
I'd say. And so Methuselah went to see Enoch in the land of Parvain, or possibly Parvaim with an M. But that's where Solomon later got his gold for his temple.
2 Chronicles 3:6.
Anyhow, Enoch said to tell Lamech that indeed it was his son and not from the sons of heaven, meaning angels.
And tell Lamech that Noah will be exalted and a judge over every man.
Lamech's dream, that was more like a vision, was seeing that at Noah's birth, he was white as snow and red as the blooming of a rose, and his hair was white as wool.
With extremely beautiful eyes.
Yes. That when opened, shone a bright light that actually lit up the whole house like the sun. And when the midwife picked him up, he spoke to the Lord of righteousness.
Yeah, that freaked me out.
As it did Lamech. And he proceeded to tell his father. He felt it couldn't be his, but from the angels. And as we said, Enoch told Methuselah it was Lamech's, and added that Noah would be part of a new thing on the earth. Because back during Enoch's father's generation.
That would be Jared.
Yeah, that's when he explained that some of the angels of heaven transgressed from the word of the Lord and united themselves with women and married some of them and begotten children by them.
Which we knew were giants.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, Enoch said, God is planning to destroy and cleanse the whole earth, taking over a year's time. Noah and his family will be left. So Noah would be born. And not until 600 years later did the floods come.
So that was definitely a way in the future prophecy.
Mm-hmm. But Enoch gives another prophecy to Methuselah saying, after that, meaning after the flood, there will come still more unrighteousness than that which was first committed on earth. Wow.
Hybridization?
Changing one sex?
Abortion? Even late term?
Enoch has one more comment to Methuselah, and he said this. Well, I know the mysteries of the Holy Ones, for he, the Lord, has shown me and informed me, and I have read them in the heavenly tablets.
You know, that's really some deep thinking.
Yeah. Anyway, we know Enoch expands on this in his own separate writings.
That we have spoken on and will again.
Yep. But tonight, we want to focus on Noah because he has some writings of his own.
Yes, he does.
He writes how his mother, Beit Nosh, taught him righteousness from his early childhood and how he, as an adult, kept from the paths of deceit and violence, thereby growing in wisdom and took to heart what the godly watchers, who were sent from the Holy One would instruct him. So, he doesn't name his first wife, but from the book of Jasher, her name was Naamah, the daughter of Enoch.
And we know from Genesis, they had three sons.
Then, when Noah was 500 years old, he had a vision with all the details about what debauchery was going on with the women, defiling the human race, along with bestiality, and the bloodshed from the Nephilim. Noah was also shown what to do with exact measurements for the ark and told that he would be guided by the good watchers. And in my opinion, they probably helped to build as well.
Anyhow, well, you know, the flood didn't occur for another 100 years.
I know. And from Noah's writings, we understand Noah knew it was time for his sons to finally marry, and the women, of course, should be young for childbearing.
So he picked their wives from his younger brother's daughters.
And while on the ark, they had children born to them, and also a daughter was born to Noah. And due to fragments, we can't get much about his time on the ark, only that it rested on one of the mountains in Ararat, which confirms scripture.
And also tells us they were on the ark for a year.
And then Noah blessed the Lord with sacrifices for keeping them safe. Noah also writes about marrying his daughter, Mzerah. But remember, they were the only ones on the earth. So just like Adam and Eve, intermarriage was actually a must.
And, well, you know, God protected their genes.
He did. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Noah had more sons and daughters, and the repopulation was on its way.
Yeah, Noah also writes about planting a vineyard.
He does. But we had to learn from Scripture that he got drunk, because he doesn't mention that in these writings.
Right, yeah, we learned that, I think, from Moses in Genesis 9.
However, Noah did write that he planted a vineyard, and he did it right away, and that it took about 4 years before they could drink it as wine. So they waited and chose a feast day to partake in the celebration for the first time of the first feast in the first month.
which we know as Rosh Hashanah on Tishri 1, on their first civil calendar.
Yep, that's the only one they had. Interesting that they knew to remember certain days already. And this was pretty important. For Tishri 1, and that was in the fall harvest season, was the creation of Adam.
Just one more confirmation we have it right.
Yeah. Now, Noah did say that he laid down when done drinking his wine. And while sleeping, he had a dream where he sees himself as a great cedar tree, meaning king of the earth, and would decree the Noahide laws for future nations. He also saw many animals and the stars and the moon and the sun.
And he saw a very tall olive tree,
probably representing the future Hebrew people, which had beautiful fruit and great foliage.
But then it began to look tattered.
Yes, and the Jews have suffered, as we know. But then his dream jumps to the end when their enemies are thrown in the pits. So, Noah was the great cedar, that great cedar tree having three shoots, representing his three sons, and the first shoot represented his son Seth, and he grew from the cedar, but became the olive tree. Seth was firstborn, and he would never depart.
Because from his seed will come Messiah.
That's right. And the rest of Noah's writings, he spells out how he divided the land between his sons. Ham went southwest.
Japheth northeast.
And Shem stayed with Noah in the middle. And, of course, we suspect it included ancient Israel, which was much bigger back then. But I would say they had thousands upon thousands of acres. And each one had a certain amount between them. And then they would divide those between their own sons, and then their sons after them. Well, that's just some of the main points to help you see what else was going on. I hope that you found it interesting. And why don't you drop me a line and let me know if you'd like more from the patriarch's writings that have been found at Qumran. They're pretty enlightening. Anyway, what about you? Are you saved? Do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? You know, if not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your only Savior. He has totally paid your debt for all your sins. Unless, of course, you want to pay for them yourself, he will let you do that. But it's always your choice. We have that freedom. So grab that freedom while it is still day, for the night is coming, and that you can be assured of. Prophecies are coming true. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6, and you should, of course, have that memorized. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.